You're listening to the GP Supervision Australia podcast, How ACRM is Working for You in 2024, presented by Kyra Moss, Dave York, Isabel Broderick, and Debbie Forsdyke. We would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which this recording was produced, and pay our respects to their elders past, present, future, and their families.
Welcome, we're really glad to be here. I'm speaking to you today from Turrbal Yagara land, just out the south side of Brisbane. Thanks for coming along. We're going to take you through some of the things around supervisor and practice support that we're doing, but we'll also give you a bit of a brief overview. So ACRM is the home of rural generalism. We train rural generalists. We train them all the way across Australia through our national training and education program. And we love what we do. We love training our rural generalists in practice and in hospitals in some pretty amazing posts, actually, all across Australia and on islands around Australia. We also have advanced specialist training terms, which are compulsory, not optional. That's what makes rural generalist training a bit special, as I'm sure you all know. We prepare our doctors and set them off into the world, kitted up to resource their rural and remote locations to have the right skills to do the job. Certainly makes their training challenging and interesting, but it also opens avenues to all kinds of fantastic medicine and experience. We are different to RACGP. We're funded the same in a few ways, but we're very different in terms of our approach. We have a different curriculum. We have different handbooks. We have different policies. We have different ways of doing things at ACRM. And so it's important that our supervisors understand how we are different, and in particular, what different things we require from our supervisors that RACGP may or may not require, and how we approach supervision, respecting what it is that our supervisors do and what they know to assist our registrars. So our registrars can remain in one location for the whole of their training by undertaking AST, such as population health, remote medicine, academic practice, the same as their CGT terms. Now, for those of you that are new to this, CGT terms are the equivalent of what used to be called PRRT terms. So ACRM uses CGT, core generalist training terms. We are really passionate about registrars being able to find a location to stay in for longer if it's possible, if it can meet all of their training and education requirements, if it can meet the education requirements of what they require in rural generalism as a whole, we will support it. We know that training registrars can be a wonderful experience, but we also know that it can be a burden for the posts that host them. So we want to support our posts as well as our communities to connect with registrars and to have them in place for longer, where they grow their skills and they learn the job and they can add more and more and more to that location as they train and learn. We also have no two practice rule. So registrars don't have to jump from practice to practice in a location. And as I said, what we really want to do is find the best fit for the registrar and the best fit for the training post and a community in any given area. What we know from our data, we've been running training for 20 years at ACRM through our independent pathway. And what we know is that the longer we hold a registrar in a location, whether it's rural or remote, they tend to stay because they make connections, they raise their families, they find the kind of things professionally that they're looking for in their job. And so we get better outcomes from our registrars who stay the distance. We do have flexible funding. We scale it to MMM. So for us, it's all about rural remote. The higher the MMM, the more we will invest and lean into making sure we disperse our workforce across Australia into these areas. We also have funding that is scaled to support their AST terms. So we recognised under the National Inconsistent Program that there was a gap around ASTs. It didn't recognise the AST year. It didn't recognise the training that would be required for every AST, because as I said, every registrar must do one. And so we've invested in a flexible funding program that has amounts that can be rolled out to registrars, supervisors, and training posts to support that AST growth. And we will offer contracts for up to 2 years. So that's really important. And that's how we're a little bit different. But what have we learned in 2023? Well, a lot. College-led training was everything we thought it would be, and then some. We really had some key areas of feedback. So first of all, there was transition in 2022, and we got lots and lots of feedback from the RTOs about how they felt things should be done. And then as we moved through transition to taking on college-led training, we, of course, started to do all of this. And that's when the real feedback started coming through. Some of the key stuff is that we have heard from our supervisors and practices that they require a point of contact for all inquiries. Not a hotline, not a phone line, not an open mailbox, but a name and a face. Somebody who knows the town that they're in, knows the name of their practice, understands which registrar they might have had, knows some of the history about some of the difficulties they might have had around payments or getting their paperwork in order. And we understand why our practices and our supervisors are asking for that. Like I said before about placing our registrars in longer placements, we understand the burden of not only delivering services in our communities as things get harder and harder and workforce shrinks, but also the burden of training registrars and getting the right support. So we're moving to models that do this better, but we do recognize that that point of contact is important. We don't want people to be a number. At Akram, we want practices to be known by name. We want our registrars to be known by name. And we want staff to be well equipped to have conversations with you when you need assistance so that even if they don't know you, they can get access to the information around your case so that you don't have to explain yourself again and again and again. So that's also important. We know that a central hub is required. So supporting our regions is really important for us. So Akram has a networked model. We have staff in our regions to provide the one-to-one contact, but we also recognize that centrally, we need to have some really strong systems, corporate knowledge, staff, and the ability to train our staff and support things as we reach outwards. So that's where it's really important around the staffing model so that we can actually train and support staff so that if they're speaking to you and they get a question they can't answer, they have a direct line into the national team who have the experience. We have the knowledge of our processes and policies to get the information that's required. We also heard from our regions and supervisors and practices and registrars that what they wanted was somebody closer to them. They wanted somebody who knew their region. They wanted somebody who understood what was happening in their area. So Akram has made some recent shifts in moving out our staff into what we call a training practice advisor role. So staff are now being reassigned to smaller regions so that they can do exactly this, dedicate themselves to the post, to the registrar, and to the region that they have been assigned. And of course, we heard that payments caused confusion. It was widespread, it wasn't Akram specific, but the shift to Services Australia, and certainly in the very beginning, ensuring that we had PRODA and we had all of the right logins and all of the right information and all of the right data for Services Australia did cause confusion. The upshot of that was that it really did give our early teams an opportunity to make some pretty solid relationships. They were on the phone, they were on emails, they were contacting our supervisors and practices and trying to work it through with them to ensure that payments could occur. We've also moved to a new placement process. So Akram and RSEGP do have slightly different placement processes. What we have, though, is agreement on the placement timings. And this has been really important. So that we actually offer practices and registrars the opportunity to navigate the best placements for them, but to have some equity in terms of what becomes available and when. The other thing we heard really strongly in all of this, and it's a part of how we deal with that sort of having a central point of contact and providing some of that sort of wraparound support, is that we need a single point of accreditation. So you may have heard the term bi-college accreditation. Bi-college accreditation means fundamentally that the colleges will recognize each other's accreditation. A practice will only need to apply once to one college, and then that data will be shared with the other college to make the assessment. We are not going to ask practices, and we haven't done yet, ask practices to fill up an RSCGP form and an Akron form to, send things in twice. The idea was that we would collect that information once. And we would then process that as needed. It is a piece of work that is continually in motion as our two very different colleges work together to ensure we do this properly. The colleges do, of course, because we have different standards and a different curriculum, we reserve the right to accredit against our standards. Each, just because you're accredited with one doesn't necessarily mean you'll be accredited with the other, but we won't ask you to do double the work. We will not ask you to duplicate what is required. We're continuing to work on this, and we do believe at some point this year that we will move to a single form, I believe. I do know that's good news. Yes, Carla.
I just want to ask, with the recognition, the sharing, is that prompted? Or is that, is there a central repository, or is it, no, we actually already accredited with RECGP, you need them to get that to you?
It's not so much that we're already accredited with RECGP or vice versa. It's usually new practices coming back through for accreditation or new accreditation applications. It's not proctored. We share that directly between the teams and the colleges. We have a number of by-college projects underway, including placements, obviously, to align the dates. Supervisor education is another area that we've been working together to improve. And the data share and accreditation is another one of those. It's not seamless, but we do it in the background at the colleges and we have the conversations to ensure we can be across the information. So I'm now going to be quiet and let David York, our fellowship manager, take you through this.
Hi, everyone. Well, Cara's actually mentioned quite a few of these points. So I'll just touch on a couple of other areas, particularly in relation to the training program advisors. It's a big shift for us, moving from our training officer and our practice support officer model and moving to a all-encompassing training program advisor, where that role will be looking after the registrar, their supervisor, and their practice in relation to that. At the end of last year, we rolled out to Queensland and Western Australia, and it was very well received. And we're currently rolling out to Northern Territory and Tasmania as we speak. And then once we do that and finish rolling out to those states, we'll be rolling out to the other states. So it's a all-encompassing national model. So if you have a registrar that moves from one state to the next, the service and support that they get in Queensland will be the same as what they get in Tasmania. They can expect to have the single point of contact with the registrar, with the supervisor, and with the post. So that's a great step in that direction, and certainly something that shows, I suppose, the responsiveness of ACRM to the information that we're getting and looking at ways that we can continuously improve the services that we provide. One of the things that Cara didn't mention was our remote supervision framework, and we're currently reviewing that and looking at improving that and making it a little bit more robust and having a few support mechanisms going along the way so that we can support those remote supervisors as they go. There's a lot of emphasis being placed on AGPT, and one of the areas that we saw was missing was in relation to RGTS registrars and the salary support payments, and certainly identified a gap there and received some feedback that it was an area that we needed to address, and was certainly able to get a win in that space for AMS and ARCHO placements and the salary support payments there. Also having a win with the exception payments do require to put a submission into the Department of Health and Aged Care in relation to that. I have been very successful in having some of those accredited, so providing core generalist training under the state health systems. We're also in the process of rolling out national supervisor webinars, and you can expect to see a lot more of those throughout 2024. And then we come into the payments framework. It's a very important part of what ACRM is providing in 2023 and moving on to 2024. And those payments are now summarized. Our portal, RG Hub, which you all have access to, and they'll have a breakdown of the payments that you would have received and the information in relation to what those payments are for. One of the big things that will be happening in 2024 is under the flexible fund category. Always happy to receive flexible funds applications from posts and also supervisors. But one thing you don't need to apply for if you've got a ACRM or RGTS registrar is a payment for supervisor PD. Just working on some of the mechanics behind that to automate that process so that no application is required. So primary supervisors going from 2023 and then moving into 2024 can expect a payment to occur in that space in the not too distant future. The wraparound support that we can provide registrars, practices and supervisors. And there's a lot of crossover. And this is where that TPA or the training program advisor role sits neatly across registrar, the practice and the supervisor, very heavily connected. And one part of what's happening with the registrar links into the supervisor and the practice, from pastoral care, you know, placement and training support, assessment support, payments. There's a whole range of things there where the one-stop shop or the one role can help out a whole range of different stakeholders in those places. And we'll continue to be using this model as we go forward to 2024 and beyond, and certainly as we go along. And big thing for this year and last year was working closely with the Joint Colleges Training Services, JCTS, in relation to the delivery of that cultural safety program. So big piece of work for ACRM and JCTS in that space.
Thank you so much, Dave. What we have changed so far based on your feedback or feedback that we've received from training post supervisors and registrars in the payment space has really been extensive support for AUGSIDE ID and PRODA requirements. So there was a lot of confusion around the AUGSIDE IDs, the number, like a 10-digit number was required for different requirements. And so what we have done is just provided that additional support to all of our training posts and supervisors. The flexible funds payments for practices have all been actioned as well. We lobbied to have a lot of our health services now be eligible for exemption payments as well. So we've been slowly getting all of those payments up and running and into our system as well. Payment summaries on RG Hub. So we did have the payment summaries because we received a lot of feedback from a lot of our training posts and supervisors around the remittance advices that they were getting from Services Australia were not cutting it. They didn't understand how it related to the registrars that were placed there. So what ACRM did was actually create a summary on the RG Hub for our AGPT registrars. We've been working with the BSI team within ACRM to actually have that functionality available for RGTS registrars as well. So that is currently underway. Salary support. So all of our salary support placements have now had all of their payments paid, bar I think probably one or two training posts that we are working with individually on a case-by-case basis to make sure that that's all actioned as well. But we're getting the information out there earlier. We are following up for placements for employment agreements so that we can actually action the salary support. We're creating the schedules. We're actually letting training posts know when there has been errors in payments and doing that follow-up. So that TPA model certainly is going to make a massive difference, I think, for ACRM moving forward as well. Accreditation. So what have we done? So a centralized process for accreditation, like Kyra mentioned earlier, we have been working really, really closely with the RACGP on a combined form for all accreditations moving forward. But we do have a centralized process at the moment. So all accreditations come through to the one person. We work really closely with the regional teams. So every application that comes through and is assessed from a compliance point of view, we put it out there to the regional teams because they're the ones on the ground. They know what's going on in the regions. So we always get regional input. There is staff available to assist. So we've increased our staffing around accreditation as well. Training posts, all of our training posts are accredited to ACRM standards. And so that is previously we had IP that were accredited as well, but we are now in the process of aligning all of our accreditations that it is that one standard and every training post is meeting those standards. There is a shorter turnaround time as well for processing of AST applications and CGT applications and site visits. Wow. We've done a lot in site visits. So our team have been busy getting out there, meeting with the posts, and now site visits. We sit down with the regional teams. Often we will include RACGP as well to make sure that that training post and that supervisor understands what it is that they're signing up to do when they have an ACRM trainee. So total posts at the moment, 2,251, including 371 AST placements. Our system has been updated to make sure that we're actually listening to what our stakeholders are telling us around the placement process. Placement profiles are now supported as well in our online version too. So training posts can go in there, update all of their details, put down what it is that they want, what registrar they're looking for, promote their practices through the placement training post profile page. Payments are made with all AGPT practices and supervisors. They've all now been completed. We have a choice in the placement matching process. So if your registrar is choosing to stay on, they don't need to go through the placement process. It is done and dusted. They just need to send in a placement confirmation form. We also support extended placements. So our placement process isn't just for 6 months. If you have a registrar and they want to do all of their training there, they can certainly stay there for 2 years. They can stay there for 18 months. It really is making sure that that registrar meets their requirements, their training and education requirements whilst they're in that placement. So it's not limited to 6 monthly placements at all. And we strongly encourage our registrars to stay in the one place as well. RG improvements are ongoing. So we are working closely with our IT team as well to make sure that we're actually listening to the feedback around the placement process. And we're starting to make some, I guess, amendments as well as we go to a new placement round in the upcoming months too.
So the accreditation piece, training practice accreditation or training post accreditation, you've been doing your IP and RGTS for some time now, but now in light of the AGPT contract as well, just asking the question, has anything changed there in terms of accreditation requirements?
No, the accreditation requirements haven't changed. Our standards are our standards. However, payments are attached to all of our placements as well. And the AMC requirements are very clear that registrars need to be in accredited training posts. And I think as we're in college-led training, not that our standards are different, but there is more emphasis in their compliance around making sure that those standards are met.
Do you support secondment between practices that are, of course, accredited training practices to meet their standards, to meet their requirements of training? A registrar can be employed by the same training post for their duration, but be seconded out for blocks. Is that something that you have?
Yes. Yeah, so, Carla, are you talking about like additional sites, like, you know, or branch sites where it's owned by the same training facility?
I wasn't, but like if that was the condition, is that
something? No, so we do have composite posts as well. So say in an AST space where a training post that really wants to commit to taking on a registrar to do an AST in internal medicine, for example, and they don't quite meet all of the requirements of the curriculum, often we'll do like a composite post where, you know, you can have a registrar go to another accredited post within a different region, for example, to tick off the rest of those requirements from a training point of view. So certainly we are flexible in our approach to accreditation. And if they don't meet the requirements, there are other ways. And this is where I think that handheld approach, you know, every application that comes through, you know, we work with the regional training team, we look at registrar placements, we look at if there was a registrar interested to go there, how could we make it work? So it's not always a stock standard no, it is looking at the standards and actually identifying where the deficits are and working with that training post to actually address some of those areas that they won't cover. So what can we expect in 2024-2025? Some regional sessions for supervisors, some by-college recognition of PD, CPD recognition for supervisor activities, some national supervisor webinars. The dates have been set, I think, for the national webinars for this year. Reviewed supervisor learning materials, reviewed cultural education, and electronic supervisor reports. I think this is you, Deb.
So what we've achieved so far, we've recruited SLOs in all of our states, bar Northern Territory, but that's an ongoing recruitment process. We have represented on the GPSA advisory councils, and we've got a good strong partnership with JCTS for our AMS and art shows for supporting them, especially with that AMS salary support. We've got great representation in the supervisor issues and the governance structures. And we're continually trying to work with RACGP, getting education up and running as a one event rather than having our supervisors attend two college events, taking the burden off supervisors for having to attend two events to fulfill both college accreditations and PD requirements, saving on travel and time out of the clinics as well. So 2024 is the year of more. We are encouraging all posts to have a backup supervision. So for the safety of our registrars, we would like our practices to have an arrangement for a backup supervisor or supervisor plan in case of the lead supervisor going on leave or some unforeseen circumstance occurring. We're looking to have supervisor feedback online. So the supervisor reports very soon will be coming online through the RG Hub, which is the location for all of your ACRM activities with regards to your supervisor progress, is where you'll find the RG Hub and supervisor report submissions. We are developing supervisor resources and more guides so that you can have easy access to see what's required of you when you're training your ACRM registrars throughout their training journey. And we're continually developing our AST resources as well and looking after our AST supervisors too, and continually developing more online resources for our supervisors and training posts to just make the whole training of our registrars more seamless and straightforward for you.
throughout this whole experience with ACRM, is it normal or standard that there is a fee or there is any financial support that comes to the medical center that's housing the GP? Because I don't think anything has ever come through from my knowledge. But then again, I don't know if that was before my time, sort of 6 to 8 months now or what, I'm not too sure. But I do know when GPs in the metro area, even if it's university students that they help sort of just mentor or coach and they just shadow, there's remuneration for that. I'm wondering, is there any remuneration at all in this whole process of us housing a ACRM GP in training?
Like the flexible funding, Dave. So you're looking at potentially accommodation for ACRM trainees because there is no accommodation, or as a training post, you have to pay for accommodation for your ACRM trainee. So that would fall under the flexible funding if that registrar is an AGPT registrar.
Is that what you're talking about, the actual accommodation or having the registrar working at the practice?
It's nothing to do with accommodation or anything. I'm sure there's things that can happen down the track or with other trainees or registrars.
Because that's certainly an option, and I can certainly help any practices out with that if they've got particularly AGPT registrars. There's some avenues there, and potentially also the recruitment and marketing of the practice to receive any registrars, whether that be AGPT, RGTS or independent pathway. But to have the registrar working at the practice, I think that falls more into your space, doesn't it, as well?
The other thing with BOSIG is standardised payments for practices. So if the practice is hosting a registrar or training a registrar, there will be standardised payments available to the practice on a semester basis, both under RGTS and AGPT, so depending on the pathway they're on. There certainly are those payments, and they are designed to provide some compensation to the practices for the training of the registrar.
Yeah, that's kind of more like what I was talking about, obviously, because we have experience, obviously, with whether it's students or I think also with registrars in the city, just GP registrars there, something like what you've seemed to just mention just now.
The payments section of our website that will actually walk you through what the payments are for each of those. So it really depends on which pathway your registrar is training on, but there's a range of payment options and be able to get
them. Thank you. Actually, I do have one more question. When it comes to registrars and they're working in the hospital, do any of these payments that cover the time lost effectively that registrars at the hospital?
Do you mean time lost to the practice?
Yeah, time lost to the practice, because essentially you've got GPs that you're training, some of them really experienced, so they might be working at the hospital or what have you. And so then your practice essentially has limited operating hours or limited patient contact hours for the sole reason that they're at the hospital. Obviously, it's a potentially mutually beneficial arrangement, but I'm just wondering, is there something that should be going to the practices from the hospital in that situation or from the ACRM and that kind of thing? Or
it's a good question, and I'm going to throw to Isabel, but on principle, payments for training posts, practices or otherwise, are approved off the back of a placement. Now, if a placement is approved where they have a component in the general practice and a component in the hospital, that will be ecked out at that stage. But I'm going to throw to Isabel for the next bit, but I don't believe hospitals pay across to practices for that component to recompense the practice for that. That's more about the training arrangements for that registrar. Now, a lot of our registrars will do on-call. They will do VMO roles in hospitals to get the exposure. There are not additional payments for those to manage them. But Isabel, you might be able to clarify.
No, Cara, you're spot on. And what we find as well is that it is based on placement. So if your registrar is doing one day a week at a hospital, their training time will count, but your payment will actually be reduced based on the amount of time that registrar is there. They're in the practice. So the practice payments are based on registrar placement. So if the registrar is there 4 days and that one day at the hospital, you'll be paid based on that registrar FTE weeks.
Just emphasising what Cara said there too, that it's going to be different depending on the hospital, the state, potentially the time of the year. There will be different arrangements by hospital as well in terms of what the hospital might do in that situation.
Please reach out to our team. We're here to help you as much as we can.
Dr. Kovats is asking how to get CPD points from RACGP to ACRM.
That's a really good question. I'm assuming RACGP is your current choice of CPD home. ACRM has now got CPD homes of their own. It's a great resource. We do recognise that practitioners will get CPD completion from a whole range of areas. It might be from ANSCA, it might be in surgery, it might be from RACGP. It's a matter of logging that CPD, if you're with ACRM, logging it into your CPD homes to actually attract those points. And I just want to speak to the previous points about missing out on an ACRM trainee. Sometimes that will occur depending on the capacity of the practice. We don't dictate which trainees go to those practices. We really try to move it back to practices to actually put up their preferred trainee so that they get a choice. Sometimes a trainee will pull out and go elsewhere. We can't always control that, but we would always give the practice and the trainee the first opportunity to see if they find a good work and values match and to ensure that happens. And in that sense, even though we're ACRM, we are college agnostic. We want to ensure that the right registrar ends up in the right placement, whether they're with us or RACGP. Noting, of course, that rural generalists are always going to be a great fit for rural generalist placements. So,
are there key differences between RG training and AGPT registrar arrangements?
There certainly are. There are differences in terms of the timing of the payments and the kinds of payments that are made. And that was due to how the program was designed before the NCP and AGPT program launched. We did align the payments so that the NCP payments would be like for the practice and registrar payments, but there are variations around the edges in terms of things like payments to registrars for relocation versus flexible funding. There is some variation there. There's also a little bit of variation around ASTs. So RGTS recognises the AST year, whereas the NCP or AGPT funding did not, which is why we use the flexible funding to support it.
I want to say thank you to the ACRM team for allowing GPSA to be a part of your journey. It's been great working with you in this year of year one of the 3-year period of this particular contract. And so if you're not already part of our GPSA community platform, it's free. Everything we do is free. As a member of GPSA, free. You can be part of our community platform and join the groups. Well, we've got groups for each region. So you'll find the SLOs, such as Sue Harrison here in Victoria. They manage a group for the Victorian Rural Supervision Teams. You can find out what's going on the ground with colleagues to see that you're not sitting in isolation and there are other people experiencing the same things and drive the solutions together. It is a space to connect, and as we try to get more and more face-to-face interaction, this is the jumping off point for you to make some of those relationships. When you do catch up in person, you know who you're talking to. Thank you to ACRM. Please let us know what else you'd like and we can connect in, but we're here to help. So please reach out if you need us. Thank you all.
Thanks for listening. We'd love your feedback. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating and or a review. And if you haven't already, please subscribe and share this podcast with your colleagues. If you'd like to ask a question or suggest a topic, you can reach out to us via our social channels. Simply search GP Supervision Australia on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, or Twitter. GP Supervision Australia is supported by funding from the Australian Government under the Australian General Practice Training Program.